Coming up this week on Sporting Journal Radio.
An effort to transfer state lands and real properties administered by the DNR to the Red Lake Nation.
And the weather forecast being in the 40s and 50s and dozens and dozens and dozens of walleyes being caught by each angler.
Injustice, not justice, for all involved.
I fish, I hunt, and always will. Broadcasting from the Alclair Outdoor Studios.
Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
That's right. Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on the network by demand, sportingjournalradio.com. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, thank you very much. That's Dan Amundson over there. What's up, Dan?
Hey.
There's Dan.
Hi.
Right. And David Eckhart, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Don't look now, but there's a moose right behind you.
Right behind me.
I don't know what you mean, but it had the cadence of a joke.
So we're
off to a rock and roll start.
Talk a lot about river fishing this week, from the Mississippi to the Rainy. We're also going to talk about what's going on at Red Lake. Robin Dwight is the president of the Upper Red Lake Area Association, and she's going to join us to talk about what's happening up there and what the future could look like with some introduced legislation where Red Lake Nation would get the part of the lake that state residents can use right now. So we're gonna find out what exactly is going on up there coming up later in the show, plus a Lake of the Woods Rainy River update with Joe Henry. But first, ladies and gentlemen, who are the sponsors this week, Dan?
This week we have Inver Grove Toyota, the official truck sponsor of Fish Hunt Forever is Inver Grove Toyota. When looking for your new rig, head over to Inver Grove Toyota. Haybell Heights Campground and Resort. Fish out of a snow bear in the winter or take a summer trip to Devil's Lake. Learn more at HaybellHeights.com. OnX Hunt, landowner information, public land access, and much, much more. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt. Prairie Sportsman, new episode this Sunday, and you could watch other episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel. And Lake of the Woods Tourism, can't wait to be up there next weekend. Lake of the Woods and the Rainy River is the walleye capital of the world. Plan a trip for this spring or summer at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. We should get that switched out so it's not ice fishing. Ice fishing is over.
I guess it's
in
that
my
time.
Opinion. Mm-hmm. Some people are still ice fishing Lake of the Woods. They're weird.
Right now they're talking about 57 degrees. And mostly cloudy skies Tuesday, April 9th, and Wednesday, April 10th, 59 degrees and partly cloudy. So we're going to have some great weather for the two-day fishing tournament, the SGR 500, up there at the Rainy River. It is here. Well, next week it is here. It's almost here,
I guess. I mean, if this airs on the weekend, you know, it's close enough. Why is there a Kane Brown ad on our website?
What have you been looking up, Dan?
Apparently Whitewater, not Kane Brown. I can promise you that.
Well, that's your computer. That's how you get those ads. Yeah, well, it's based on your search results.
You and I are networked.
It's not me. Promise you that. Anyway, you can see a video from the tournament last year. You can watch the podcast from the tournament last year at sportingjournalradio.com and get all the info. We're going to be giving away a whole bunch of prizes. So it's a $40 entry fee per person. So somebody texted me that signed up for the tournament, said, do we sign up per boat? Is it per person? I said, it's per person. So even if you're in the boat with somebody else, you're competing against that person in the boat.
Knock the fish off the net. Have some right. Skullduggery this year.
Skullduggery. Yes. So you can win some money back. So we pay back first place walleye, first place sturgeon, get some cash. I think actually first place walleye, first place sturgeon, get cash back. We're also donating money to the Keep It Clean program once again this year. So 25% of the entry fees go to keeping Lake of the Woods and the Rainy River clean for generations to come. The SGR 500, it's the third annual. We're going to be having a rules meeting Monday night at Riverbend Resort on the Rainy River. And we'll be giving away a bunch of prizes there. It's a non-mandatory rules meeting, but come on out, have a beverage, grab some food. We'll give away some prizes. And then the tournament goes, it's 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. right? 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Wednesday. And then Wednesday night, we will have the podcast. We'll record the podcast once again in the bar. And this year, we're going to go out into the big part of the bar. Greg Jones is going to be playing live music. So we're going to be utilizing his sound system, his PA system there in the bar. So even if you're sitting way in the back, you'll be able to hear us loud and clear as we do the podcast. So come be a part of this show right here and maybe win some cash and prizes. Catch some big fish. I'm excited, Dan. You had a buddy just smashing up there.
Yeah, Brody Holm was up there. He's kicking around the idea of joining the tournament, and he got some fish dialed in. He said he was by himself. He caught 50, and I think he said 25 of them were over 23 inches.
Oh, boy.
So big fish, and guess who's not going to be there?
Me.
That guy.
David.
Loser.
Unreal. Yeah. It's a bummer.
It's like you knew when this was going to be.
Yeah, well.
A year ago.
Come on.
Didn't work out.
It always can work out. It's just how hard do you want to try?
Yeah, I know.
How hard do you want to stay married?
Yeah, exactly.
How much do you love your wife?
I love her very much.
Well, enjoy your time wherever you're going, somewhere south. And
no one cares.
Dominican Republic. Well, I'm sure that you'll have fun. You know, I have so little desire to go to like a beach vacation down south somewhere. Like, people always talk about going to Mexico or even, you know, even Florida for that matter. I mean, I go to Florida and fish around Florida. It'd be a fishing trip, though, not like a beach vacation.
Are you packed yet?
I'd probably go to Hawaii, but.
No, not packed.
Why not? Aren't you leaving like today?
Yeah, I'm leaving today.
I don't ever pack till
today. That takes like 20 minutes, Dan.
So. When do you pack?
The night before. Nah. Unless I'm leaving in the night, then I'll pack that morning. But like if I had to work and I was going to work, you know, like the podcast, like we're working right now and then leave directly after, I'd probably be packed already.
I got like 4 hours after this.
Oh, that's then you're fine. Yeah, plenty of time.
As long as your washer doesn't break down. See, think of this. What if
I already did my laundry?
Okay, though. That's good prep. Normally I do my I do the laundry and then that I don't fold it and put it in the dresser. I fold it and put it in my suitcase or whatever.
See, that's what I gotta do.
But if the dryer breaks or something, then you're screwed.
You know, that's 20 minutes. That's the other thing. The beauty of our trip, David, is we're going fishing. So really, we only need to bring one pair of everything for clothes because we're
People aren't coming because you're gonna smell bad.
We're gonna be wearing fishing stuff. You're gonna have to bring a different change of clothes for every day being out there.
Yeah. So 5 days. That's not that much. It'll all fit in a little suitcase. It'll be just fine.
Well. We'll send you snaps of all the big fish we catch up there.
I'll be wearing my Sporting Journal Radio sun shirt sitting on the beach.
There you go.
Have a little umbrella cocktail.
Yep.
Not bad.
A little sangria.
Well, we will be enjoying our time up at the Rainy River. We got a little test run of our river gear on Mississippi the other day, Dan. That was it's becoming an Easter tradition for us.
Yeah, it's something we do. My dad's nice enough to take us out in his boat. We went down to Red Wing to we fished some really secret spots.
Yeah.
Like there's no other boats there. It was fun. We caught.
They're so secret. The fish didn't even know about it.
We caught fish. Did we not?
Not in the secret spots. Okay.
Well, you're terrible at detecting sarcasm. I was not being serious.
Well, we tried. Well, to be fair, we did try some, you wanted to do some exploring, try some new spots and. Nobody else was fishing anywhere near any of those places, but we got to learn the river a little bit. Finally, we're like, screw it, let's go to the dam. And the entire state of Minnesota was fishing at the dam, I think.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I think everyone, most people were catching fish. I guess we got checked by a couple of conservation officers. I didn't catch their names, but they said it was kind of split. Some people were catching them, some weren't. At that point, we had not. So hopefully those two are listening to this. We ended up catching fish.
We did catch some.
We don't suck.
Yeah, she's like, can we check your live well? And I'm like, there's nothing in there.
That's after. it's like she didn't believe us that we didn't have fish. We're like, no, we haven't caught any. Well, can we check the live well?
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing.
Like, I can open this one up front. It's got water bottles in it. Here you go. But yeah, we did. There's like, we had like a 1:45 minute window where we caught fish down there. And I like, if you look, did some Facebook snooping, people caught them that day, like way better than we did. Tim Dumel was down there. He whacked them pretty good. We caught our shallow. I think he caught his a little deeper. So it was, you know, maybe we just had that one little window in the middle. It was like 12:30. We started to pick them up. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe we hit a minor and that's when our fish went off. Or it was just weird. I don't know. Cause then like we had the basically people are using the Iowa Fish Finder. As soon as our net came out, we were like swarmed with boats, and then our fishing shut down. The fish were definitely spooky of boats. We didn't really start catching them until we started pitching out from the boat too, which is abnormal for me down there. But the current's low, so you can kind of get away with some of that more fun style fishing.
Yeah, we didn't see as many people pitching out like we were, but that's when it turned on. And I did talk to a few other people that were fishing that day, and they saw the same thing. So there's definitely a bite window that opened up midday. I'm guessing a lot of people caught them early, and then it probably slowed down a little bit, and then it opened up again there.
Yeah, well, there's at least one boat, and I don't know if they had a limit or what their deal was, but you kind of assume when you're getting on the river at 7 and there's a boat coming in with their lights on to pull their boat out, that they probably caught their fish and they're going home to probably spend the day with their wives like good people do.
I know.
And that wasn't us.
And stay away from the crowd.
Because we're not married.
But I will say, for as busy as it was, you know, it wasn't bad. Like, we did find a nice little pocket, and we spot locked. But you're right. As soon as we caught a couple fish and the net came out, all of a sudden, two boats, maybe you mentioned this, two boats came in, and the fishing shut right off. Like, they kind of sat right where we were casting, or kind of bounced through right where we were casting, and that was kind of the end of it for us. But fishing all artificial, fishing plastics.
There's my custom bait, David. See that firecracker with a hint of lime? You ever seen that before?
No, I haven't.
You know how I made that?
No.
So I somehow apparently accidentally stored that firecracker plastic right next to a green one for too long.
And it kind of sort of bled over together.
Yeah. Custom. Follow for more custom bait tips.
Yeah, leave it in the sun too long.
Yep. It worked. Whacked them.
Well, it was a good time down there. If we get a chance to get out and do some fishing, do that. And plan on being up at the Rainy River with us next week for the SJR 500. Details at sportingjournalradio.com. And Sunday night, another new episode of Prairie Sportsman is coming to Pioneer PBS. Check your local listings for showtime, airtime near you. Otherwise, just go to the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel, too. You can see the Barotrauma episode. That came out last week, by the way. That's available on the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel.
Follow the science.
And then this week, I went deer hunting with Danny Thompson. And, man, that guy obviously loves his ice fishing and his Garmin electronics. But if you give that guy a plot of land, he will have food plots on it and water holes and deer walking through there and deer stands. He'll have it all designed for you. And that's what he breaks down for us, how he designed a new piece of land, where he put his stands, where he put his plots, what he planted, and all of that. See Danny's deer this Sunday night on Pioneer PBS. And then a really cool episode, I think, is the Awful Watching Program episode or segment that we have in that show. We're going to tell you what that was when we come back on Sporting Journal Radio.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand. The number one hunting GPS app just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, we're back on Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on the network by demand or watching this on YouTube. I'm Brett Amundson with Dan Amundson and David Eckhart. All right, new Prairie Sportsman, Sunday night. This is a really cool episode. We talked a little bit about it before the break, but the second half of the show is going to be about the Awful Watching Program or Awful Wildlife Watching Program.
Yep.
Awful Wildlife Watching Program. And it's basically what's eating our gut piles out there. And it's pretty interesting because it's all about how deer hunters have essentially created this whole new food source for scavengers in the woods. So it's less, I thought maybe it was going to be about, you know, ingesting lead or whatever, but it's not, has nothing to do with that. It's just what's out there eating it and what effect. Like, we're watching this video of a skunk feeding on a doe carcass right now, and it's chasing off coyotes, which I think is just hilarious. So the Awful Wildlife Watching Program gives people cameras or has people sign up with their cameras. You put a camera on your gut pile for 30 days and then you watch it to see what is eating it. And so there's a doe kind of checking out the skunk feeding on a deer. And it's all about this new food source essentially for scavengers. So skunks, raccoons, crows, coyotes, whatever is out there feeding on these gut piles, they want to see what it is, who it is and what effect it's having on the ecosystem. It's pretty interesting. So you'll be able to watch that this Sunday night on Pioneer PBS or on the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel or on demand at prairiesportsman.org, or check a PBS station near you. That'll probably air sometime in the next couple of months on PBS stations all around the region. We're on like 12, what did I say, 12 PBS stations in 7 states. I think with that show,
I can never keep it straight.
Something like that.
I like in the read, it's just check your TV guide or go to YouTube.
And I know we're getting added to South Dakota PBS.
Is that right?
That's brand new. That's just happening. I don't even know if I'm supposed to announce.
Wow.
That, so. Breaking news here. You heard it here first on Sporting Journal Radio. All right, we're going to talk about the Red Lake situation coming up later in the show. What's going on there? Robin Dwight will join us. Also, Joe Henry will talk about what's happening at Lake of the Woods and the Rainy River here in just a little bit. And we're going to be riding up there for the SGR 500 in the new Toyota Tundra from Invergrove Toyota. Love this truck. And we're going to have a contest. If you see it somewhere on the road, parked somewhere, take a picture of it, post it, and tag us, and you'll be entered to win some prizes. I don't know what the prizes are yet. I need to figure that out. But if you see the truck and it says Fish Hunt Forever, it's a big blue Tundra. It says Fish Hunt Forever on the side. Take a picture of it. Put it on Instagram. Tag Fish Hunt Forever, Sporting Journal Radio. Tag us so we know it's there. Make sure to follow our pages, of course, and you'll be entered to win some prizes. We'll probably, if you do that, we'll probably give you a T-shirt or something. So I got to figure all that out. But if you watch for it, take the picture now so you have it. So when I announce the prizes, you'll know what it is. And they just got some new Tacomas in, I believe. If they're not in, they will be in very, very soon. But there's a new 2024 Toyota Tacoma. So if you want something a little bit smaller, and it's built for going off-road and taking it on trips and hunting trips and things like that. A little bit smaller, of course. But they also, which I think is pretty cool, there's going to be a 6-speed manual option. I don't know if that's new or not. Maybe it's not new, but I think that's pretty cool.
Not too many new vehicles still come with a...
None.
Manual.
Like hardly any of them, it seems like.
Yeah.
Well, no one knows how to drive them anymore.
Yeah.
Including myself.
I've been on Marketplace just looking for an old Toyota with a 5-speed in it. Just every day I'm on Marketplace looking for old Toyota, like old Corolla or something like that.
Well, you should have been looking at the Invergrove Toyota website for a new one.
Well, that's the thing, though. I went in and tried to buy, I don't remember where I was at or what vehicle, but I wanted to buy a little car for mileage, and I wanted a 5-speed or a manual transmission or whatever. And they're like, a what? We don't make those anymore, sir. It's like, oh. So you almost have to go back or get one of these new 2024 Toyota Tacomas. So check them out, Invergrove Toyota. And when you buy your new Tacoma Tundra, tell them we told you. In fact, you can get $250 off just by going to Sporting Journal Radio and checking out the official truck sponsor of Sporting Journal Radio and Fish Hunt Forever, Invergrove Toyota, and it'll save you some money on your next truck. Right off 494 Robert Street in Invergrove Heights, Minnesota. All right, it's time for a video to watch, ladies and gentlemen.
Video of the week.
The video of the week. We had a couple of them that we wanted to talk about. Dan, you found this one with TJ Erickson.
Yeah, he quit guiding.
Oh, he did.
Be a fishing guide, and it sounds like he's not going to be guiding at least as much anymore. And he's going into more of the content creation world. He's been making YouTube videos for a little bit, and he was up on the Rainy River, and so of course, naturally, this time of year catches my eye. And he kind of broke down how he found fish currently, and I think that's always fun to watch because you search Rainy River videos, you always get something from last year or a couple of years ago, and there's always still good info in that. But things are changing; the water levels are different this year, where we've got less flow, so it's always fun to get up to date reports. So I figured that was one people should check out, especially because our tournament's coming up. It's going to be a busy weekend up at the Rainy River, so. There's some tips for you to look to check. Of course, it's river fishing. Fish move in the river faster than you find them. So things might be different. So don't trash TJ if you use his tips and you don't catch fish. Maybe you suck or maybe the fish move. but yeah, it's good stuff. It's always fun to get up-to-date information. And of course, if you can always get information from our show too. But
that's right.
It's always fun to go and watch a bunch of videos and check some different things out. And TJ had a lot of good stuff. TJ's a smart angler. He's got a lot of cool tips and tricks on fishing, especially in northern Minnesota. So always interesting to see what he's up to.
He was using a hair jig.
Yeah, people love it. You know, people love hair jigs. Like, I made a video the other day, a couple weeks ago now, I guess it was, about like my top three river, spring river walleye baits. And someone literally said, he's like, I think it's against the law or a sin to not include the hair jig in this. Yeah. Like, you're not kind of, I mean, you're not wrong. Hair jigs are good. I just don't fish them a ton.
Yeah, I hardly ever use them.
No, I've never really had like a banner day on a hair jig. And I think I just need to have one good day where I catch a couple nice fish on them. And then like, hair jigs are the greatest thing in the world.
A tackle box full of them.
Yeah. But until I do, I have like three of them in there and I look at them and they get all kind of gross and rusty and like, ugh, it's kind of time on.
It makes sense. I last time I actually targeted smallmouth and fish for them, like try to catch smallmouth, I was using hair jigs, and I had a bunch of hair jigs, and I was doing it. But I don't think of them for walleyes very often.
You should. Like, anything, apparently. Anything, I think, you catch smallmouth or anything with, a walleye's going to bite. Absolutely. So that's one of the things we've learned the last few years.
Well, thank you, DJ. Yeah. Good stuff. Well, if you're watching this on YouTube, we'll link to that video in our description here, in our video right here. And then the other one was Jason Mitchell weighing in on the forward-facing sonar debate. And he talks at length about how he feels about that. So if you want to learn a little bit more, there's been a lot of people, kind of some of the bigger names in the fishing industry weighing in on the forward-facing sonar debate lately, it seems, Dan.
Yeah, there definitely are. And I think it's one of those things that's not going to go away either. The discussion, I mean you're going to see different... You're going to see different people do different things with forward-facing sonar, but he brings up a lot of good points of why it is the way it is and how it is.
Speaking of which, we forgot to mention this earlier, but David doesn't like to buy stuff. He likes to build it.
Yeah, I had to buy for that was the clamps.
So
I had everything else.
This is your LiveScope mount custom.
Yeah. Works great for a John boat. It'll clamp over a 4-inch side, but not great if you've got a fiberglass with thick sidewalls.
This, I think, is the best part, honestly, right here, because with the one that I had that fits into, I've got the ram mount, but it goes into the rod holder.
Yep.
And then it flexes way too much. So this, your live scope pole is going through here, right?
Yeah.
And that's keeping it from moving. It
hooks the current, won't spin it.
Yeah. Can you build me one by tomorrow before you leave for the Dominican? Yeah.
The next please? 4 hours.
That would be great.
Well, you're not packed yet. So if you can pack, so that's quickly, right. You probably could build one of those just as quick.
So what would you do differently if you built another one of these?
Not use half inch aluminum plate.
Yes, you would.
Yeah, don't you would. Lie.
A quarter inch would be fine. Still probably too heavy.
HD David over here. Very cool. All right, and you found a reel for us. Here's a reel to watch.
Reels to watch for. The rabbit hole of reels continues. Reels to watch
for. The reason I like to make David do it, sorry, David, I stole your thunder there for a minute. But
that's fine.
Because we're in a group where we send reels to it, and it's always like David has seen all of them before any of us. So I always like to make David the expert on reels to watch. Yes.
So this one came from Sydney Wells. Looked like they were doing some crappie fishing or bass fishing and trying to get a cool drone shot, and didn't work out so well.
I just want to point out before we played this that I saw this before you.
Oh!
So I win the game.
I saw it last Sick week.
Burn. But, yeah. I saw it like 2 weeks ago. Whatever.
Well, fine then. Yeah, either way.
That's because Dan stalks Sydney Wells.
Cast the line right over the drone. And
does it float?
Sank it.
Float. Nope. I don't think they do.
That's a...
Does it float?
It's not a cheap mistake.
Who do you blame there? The pilot or the angler?
Nobody really to blame there. It's just an accident.
There's someone to blame.
For sure. Dan would blame me no matter if I was fishing or flying the drone. It'd be my fault. But I mean, that's something where you'd have to have the discussion ahead of time. All right, you're going to cast and I'm going to fly this drone. And then, I mean, if you're casting, you have to be a little bit aware of it. It would all depend what was set up ahead of time before you could cast blame. See what I did there? Cast blame. All right. We're going to talk Rainy River and Lake of the Woods with Joe Henry in just a couple of minutes. And then Red Lake, Upper Red Lake. There is some legal stuff going on with Upper Red Lake and what Red Lake Nation is trying to do. So we're going to get the lowdown from Robin Dwight coming up later on Sporting Journal Radio.
Devil's Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today.
All right, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in and joining us here on the show. We're going to talk Lake of the Woods and the Rainy River with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism right now. Joe, how's it going?
Brett's going good. You know, I'm glad you included the Rainy River when you mentioned Lake of the Woods, because I think it's based on the reports we're getting right now in real time, with 2 weeks left through April 14th, and the weather forecast being in the 40s and 50s, and dozens and dozens and dozens of walleyes being caught by each angler, I think it's probably pretty appropriate. This is a time when somebody says, all right, man, hey, if they really start rolling, maybe give me a buzz. I think now is the time to give somebody a buzz.
Yeah, for sure. I know it's one of those things every year. You know, we have our tournament coming up there, and we thought this year might be a little bit different, that people might sign up early because of the warmer weather we had. And then, of course, we had that late Arctic blast roll through with all the snow and cold temps and kind of slowed down the thaw a little bit. But it's one of those things, it's almost like, okay, it's on. We got to leave tomorrow type of thing. And it seems like the hot bite is now, and obviously now through the rest of the season, I think it'll be game on up there, it seems like, Joe. But it's almost hard to plan for, you know?
Oh, it's totally hard. It's a timing thing. And one thing about the spring bite, you almost just have to plan on going up. In fact, it was really ironic. I had a good buddy of mine who I fished a couple of tournaments with from St. Cloud area. His name is Nick New. He owns the Linex in St. Cloud. And Nick, he had plans to go with a couple of buddies up to the Rainy River this past weekend. And my gosh, he still went, even though there was ice on the river. So there were not a lot of boats on the river this past weekend because it was still, you know, it had opened up and then it froze over again because of really cold overnight temps for a couple of weeks there. But these boats broke ice, and they were sitting out there amongst icebergs. And I will tell you what, he was rewarded with his personal best walleye of over 31 inches. So, wow. I mean, they didn't catch a lot of fish. Now, I will say this. Since then, it's been in the 40s. The river has opened up drastically. I mean, it's really opened up so quickly. There's a picture of Nick with the ice around him and his big 31. But, you know, it's now opened up drastically, and a lot more boats are out, you can imagine, and they are catching fish. We're getting reports of good numbers of fish. In fact, Danny, didn't you have a buddy just up there?
Yeah, my buddy Brody, that's his picture there on the screen there. He said he was up the other day by himself, and he caught 50, and I believe he said he had 25 over 23 inches. So,
wow.
I mean, that's what a day, huh?
What a day. Well, and you know, I think the word is they're getting some big fish. But the word on the street is a lot of those big fish from the lake, those huge females, the 28, 29, 30, 31, 32 varieties, inch varieties, they're not quite there yet. And I think that they might be coming in from the lake yet. So with the temps in the forecast, that could very easily happen. You know, for listeners that don't know, our spring season for walleye fishing is open through April 14th. So when we say we got a couple of weeks left, the clock is a ticking. It's always a timing thing, but our weather forecast looks just awesome. It's in the 40s and 50s, and you know, on the 14th, it even touches 60 throughout there. So it's going to be good. It's going to heat up quick. Once those walleyes get some sun on them, you know, I think the bite's going to improve even more. So it could be really a fun spring. And the other thing I should mention too is sturgeon. You know, sturgeon season's open. It teeters back and forth between a catch and release and a keep season this spring, but I tell you, if you want to go catch a dinosaur, there's as many walleye anglers hooking dinosaurs right now accidentally using jigs and minnows as there is, you know, anglers actually fishing for sturgeon. So it's just a fun time. It's a neat time, and it's one of the only games in town, that's for sure.
You know, I'm still going up there for walleye first, but I think what you're starting to see is just as many sturgeon anglers going up there. And I'll be honest, I mean, you go up there to catch that fat 30-incher. For sure. I mean, numbers are great. catching numbers of slot fish are awesome, but it's all catch and release. So you're not up there trying to catch eaters. You're up there trying to catch a trophy, of course. And man, if you can get a crack at maybe one of those big walleyes and then also go after like a 60, 70-pound sturgeon on the same trip, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I still want to go up there for walleyes, but I'm excited to do some sturgeon fishing while I'm up there, Joe.
100%. Well, and you know, amongst the walleye anglers is there's a club, and you know, they call it the Dirty 30 Club, right? Mm-hmm. And that means you've caught a walleye over 30 inches. And you know, if a person really wants, I tell my buddies, and I kid around, but I'm kind of not kidding around when I say it. It's almost like a Forrest Gump quote, I think. You know, I tell my buddies that, hey, you know what the secret of catching a monster walleye is? Fish in a body of water. It has a lot of monster walleyes. And I'll tell you, when you get all these big walleyes constricted into the small, rainy river, you have a very good chance of catching a truly walleye of a lifetime. Get a couple of good picks and get that fish back nice and safe. And that's the name of the game. You know, you talk about
Funny, before we get into sturgeon, Joe, I just want to mention it's funny that you say that, because I've been editing the new Prairie Sportsman episode that's about to come out this week, and in it I have a 30 inch walleye from Lake of the Woods. So I've been looking
at that's what you got last summer.
Yeah, I've been looking at a 30 inch walleye from Lake of the Woods all week.
Brag, bro.
I'm pretty good at this. Pretty awesome
no
at fishing.
One cares.
Yeah,
wasn't that the walleye that you were using? Like, didn't you see it come behind your spinner with forward facing sonar? You had it pointed backwards. Is that right?
Yeah, so I was riding in the back of the boat, back of Dan's boat with my uncle, and Dan was up front, and we were working one of the reefs out there. And using two live scopes with one pointed backwards, I could watch my bottom bouncer, and as we were, you know, 30 feet behind the boat, and then as we would approach any sort of structure or changes in bottom, I could lift and watch my bottom bouncer so I could stay in contact with the bottom, not get hung up, not get snagged. I could lift up over, you know, rocks or whatever else is down there on the bottom. And I did see a big mark on that live scope right before I caught that 30-inch fish. I'd assume it was the same one. You never really know up at Lake of the Woods, and that, you know, there were some nice fish getting caught all around us. And right before I caught that one, another slot fish, I think, in our boat. So I think it was the same one. That's the way I like to think about it, but it's hard to say. But
curiosity, could you see fish coming behind it? Like, could you see fish chasing your spinner?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's, I love having a live scope in the, if we're pulling spinners, I love having a live scope in the back. I did that all summer last year. And once I did it for the first time at Lake of the Woods, I was like, I want to try this, see if this will work. And especially when, you know, with a 2 or 3 ounce bottom bouncer on there, that's a pretty big profile to see on the live scope. And sure enough, I could follow. In fact, a lot of times if there was two of us back there pulling spinners, I could see both spinners on the live scope, and you could see fish coming in and reacting to it. Now, that one, I didn't see that one come and hit it, because the boat was kind of turning to go around the structure a little bit, but I did mark the fish before it ate. So, cool. It's a fun way. If you're pulling spinners, you could definitely utilize live scope to see how the fish are reacting.
So, Danny, when you were up at the Rainy River last year, did you use live scope on the river?
No, I didn't have it. I think Brett might have had it, but I don't think we use it a whole lot. I didn't have it set up yet. No,
I used it.
David did.
Yeah. You did. How does it work on the river?
It worked great. So we just pointed the boat in the direction of the current and just used the trolling motor just to keep us straight. And then it was basically like vertical jigging. You were just drifting with the current. So your jig was straight down. So the fish were right underneath you. So it was real easy to keep your jig in sight. And yeah. It was actually pretty frustrating, because you'd see 10 to 1, you know, 10 fish would come look at it before one would hit it. It was a little bit tougher that day. But yeah, it was like, oh, there's one. Oh, there it goes.
You're giving Joe a lot of tips to beat us with his brand new live scope this weekend.
David, were you using down scan, or were you actually using it shooting off to the side?
I had it in forward, looking straight in front of us. So I could see if there was a log or something coming, I'd be able to lift over it. And
so the current was pushing stuff to you, and you just watched the fish or the logs or whatever, the debris coming down towards the boat.
Yep. Yeah, we were just
looking with the current. Because you had it on your trolling motor.
No, we had it off the side of the boat.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, they had one on each side of the boat.
Yeah, we had one on each side of the boat.
Which I end up doing as well, but I think that was the first time I'd used mine in open water, so I was figuring it out. I don't know if I used it the first 2 days.
Well, and we probably didn't have the right mounting gear for that boat either, so we probably Jimmy rigging live scope.
I think I had a bungee corded to the side of
the boat. We spend the thousands of dollars for the live scope, but we can't buy the extra $2 or $20 mount to get it set up.
You know, that bungee cord cost you $5, didn't it?
Yeah, it worked. Yeah. And I've seen sturgeon on it, so we used it when I was sturgeon fishing, and so I was able to see some, in fact, I think we got some kind of some cool footage of these giant sturgeon and then fighting a sturgeon on a live scope. So it's,
you know, I'll say this, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, the technology's here and there's a fair number of people using it more and more every year. Right. And, you know, I'm just fascinated by the fish talk that the conversations we get into about what we see down below and how the fish are reacting. And even David saying, yeah, it was frustrating seeing 10 fish to catching one. I mean, who would have known?
Doesn't make them bite. Just helps you find them. All right, Joe, we're looking forward to it. I know you're going to be up there next week too, the SGR 500, the third annual, April 9th and 10th. You can sign up through Fish Donkey. It's a 2-day walleye and sturgeon fishing tournament. All the details at sportingjournalradio.com. And if people want to plan a trip to the Rainy River or Lake of the Woods this summer, what should they do?
You know what? Either check our Facebook page out for real-time info, otherwise our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right, we're back on Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for watching or tuning into the radio network. I'm Brett Amundson along with Dan Amundson and David Eckhart. And there is something going on up in Northwest Minnesota, Upper Red Lake, that we wanted to learn a little bit more about. So Robin Dwight joins us right now, the president of the Upper Red Lake Area Association. Robin, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for inviting me. Happy to be here.
Real quick, I noticed last time I think we had you on, we were talking about the Keep It Clean effort. And obviously that's been, there's the hoodie right there. Very nice. How's that been going for you up there?
We had a very successful year thanks to legislation put in place last year to prohibit garbage and waste on ice. And all of the businesses at Upper Red Lake and all of the community members did a great job of just keeping the lake immaculate, providing resources for all of our visitors to do the right thing. And we will continue that as long as we're able to.
Did you notice a difference then with that new legislation?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Good. Well, this was a unique year because of the weather, so we didn't have as many people out for early ice. But later on, the traffic picked up and people knew what was expected of them. We did a huge campaign, a geofencing campaign. We've had lots of posters, lots of materials. We have been slamming people with that message and they've been responding in a very positive way.
And my goodness, for the people that did go out there and fish, looked like they had a pretty good winter up there.
Yeah, not to mention the crappies.
Exactly. Yeah, I saw a lot of really nice crappies come out of that lake this year. Well, and go back in, I should say. But
and there's a great year class of crappies coming up, and the walleye fishery is healthy. So it's just we're looking forward to the summer opener now.
Yeah, and I know the fish, I mean, it's a great fishery, of course, and it was really good this year, which is maybe why a lot of the news that's coming out right now. Oh, yeah, Dan fished there.
Right after opener.
Last year.
That was probably one of my better days of the year.
That's right.
It was fun.
I think that's why some people are a little worried about the recent news about what's going on up there. And Robin, maybe you can just update us with what exactly the situation is right now.
Well, I guess from my understanding, the legislation that was introduced was an effort to transfer state lands and real properties administered by the DNR to the Red Lake Nation with a $20 million appropriation to help that effort be successful. And the details are online. You can check them out on our website, or you can go to the legislative website. The bill number is House File 4780, and the Senate file is 5080. It has not been heard in committee yet, so there are a few unknowns about what will actually happen over the next few weeks and in the long term. So for us, we were completely blindsided. Our community rallied together and said, what is happening here? We reached out to as many of our representatives and people everywhere, DNR, you name it, to find out if they knew what was going on. And it seemed that there wasn't a lot of information people could share with us. So we started to put together a real group of concerned citizens to get to the bottom of what the bill was all about, why it was introduced by a representative and senator that don't even represent our district, why our own county commissioner didn't even know much about it, and what would be the result of the bill to the people who live in this community. There didn't seem to be a great explanation about how the people who live here would be impacted and what our compensation might be in all of this.
I'm finding that's happening a lot right now, that a lot of people are making decisions for people that live in other parts, you know, and I'm not talking about just Minnesota. I'm talking about all over the place. It's happening. And there's just some head scratching legislation being introduced out there. So this one would essentially, that would take a mile boundary around the state-owned portion of Upper Red. Is that essentially what it means?
That seems to be what we understand, although we haven't had any feedback from the bill authors to date officially. So I'm hoping that will change. I do have a meeting with Representative Sydney Jordan on Friday at between 8 and 8:15. So I'll talk fast and I'll have my questions prepared, and I hope we get some understanding of the purpose of the bill and what the intended impacts will be. So I can't answer that question for you right now.
So what, do you get about 15 minutes to talk to him? Is that
at this meeting?
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, so if that were the case, what does that mean for your area? What does that mean for your community if that were to happen?
Well, I live within 1 mile of the lake. Our association members all live within 1 mile of the lake. Most of our business owners rely on the tourism from the lake. So everything that happens within 1 mile of the lake is ingrained in our culture, in our society, in our community. We have people that have lived here for 6-7 generations. And although I completely acknowledge the importance of addressing historical injustices and promoting the rights of Indigenous peoples, I have to say that our rights are not being even considered in some sort of a solution that appears more to me to be injustice, not justice, for all involved.
Well, maybe this is a better question for a lawyer, but they're disputing a map or the results of a treaty agreement from a long time ago?
It's more than that. I mean, the history goes back a long way, and there have been a lot of injustices done, and there have been a lot of grievances, and this has been litigated over the years. Some of the documents imply that the litigation was completed for the last time a few decades ago. I don't know that to be the case.
This has gone to court before then. This mm-hmm. essentially the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Similar concerns about who is the rightful owner of the lake. Not necessarily all the forest land, but so this is a little bit of a different situation right now because it's about the state forests as well. And we know what a loss we would have in our county if we were no longer able to access the resources in the state forest here. We have PILT money that helps support our school district. We have CONCON money that goes to our county. We don't have any answers as to what will happen economically to Beltrami County and our community if the authors achieve what they're hoping to achieve with this legislation. And we're unclear about what they hope to achieve also.
So 1 mile of lakeshore, so that is include some private ownership, some state ownership. Is there federal ownership in there at all?
Not so sure about federal ownership, but this land in question has an intermixing of state land, tribal land, private land. There may be some federally controlled property in there as well. You've got the map up there. So it's not just as simple as saying we can just, you know, draw a line around this and make some changes. We've got people that live in the state forest, and so access is a question. We've got a public access that's controlled by the DNR that if it were closed to the public, that totally chokes off our economy for people getting onto the water. We have a park there, a homestead park, which we've enjoyed for generations. And it's not just our enjoyment of these resources, but we've invested in them. We have organizations and groups that have worked to protect our environment, our waters, and our forests, not only state agencies and local organizations, but we've worked cooperatively with the Red Lake Nation on many projects over decades. So I can give you the Keep It Clean program, for example. We've had meetings where we have Red Lake tribal members at our meetings because they've been involved with this Keep It Clean program from the very beginning.
Hmm. This would include the state park too, Big Bog State Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's part mm-hmm. of it in there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I read somewhere, and I apologize. I there's been so much information out there, but I thought I read somewhere too that if this does happen, that state residents or non-tribal members would still be able to utilize that portion of the lake.
They always could. I mean, no one was ever barred from using the entire lake. It's public property. Everybody gets to enjoy the forests, the parks, the trails, the lake. The 2/3 of Upper Red Lake is tribally owned. And so I hope everyone respects those boundaries and understands that the public does not go there.
Right. But I'm saying that if this does happen, that you'd still be able to use the lake. But if there's no public accesses anymore, it'd be hard to get on. You're not guaranteed to be able to get on the water at that point, right?
There's no guarantee what will happen if this legislation is passed, because if things return to the Red Lake Nation, they're a sovereign nation who make their own laws, and we will not have any, bargaining power or any sort of voice in how those laws are determined.
So what can people do if they want to, voice a concern or be a part of this situation? What can they do?
Well, we have a website designer who we just hired to bring our website into the new millennium. He's done a fabulous job. So you can go to our website. It's a long name. It's the Upper Red Lake Area, ASSN.com. Upper Red Lake Area Association.com. Yeah, and you could put a link up there. That would help. I think if you Google Upper Red Lake Area Association, you'll find the website. We also have a very active Facebook page, and our Upper Red Lake Association has an active Facebook page where we invite questions and comments, and we share information with the understanding to all the people that are on our website that we will absolutely not allow any racial or political slurs, and that we reserve the right to remove any comments that are inflammatory, no matter who's saying it. So sometimes that slips because the website administrators are busy, but we ask that you please respect each other when you're having these conversations. We also have another very popular fishing Facebook page called The Real Upper Red Lake Fishing Report. They have, I think, maybe 20 to 30,000 people view their website, and they share information there as well. Right now, we're planning to go to the Capitol on April the 5th for a Public Lands Day event being held not by us, but we're welcome to join and stand beside them in the rotunda, and I think their event starts at 3:00. And so we have a group of people that are going to be going to the Capitol and holding some signs and taking a little fact sheet with us, so we know what the priorities are that we want to share with the press or with whoever else is there that wants to listen to, learn a little bit about what's happening up north. Mm-hmm. And then we also have, I shouldn't forget to let you know, that we have a town hall meeting coming up on April the 20th in the city of Kellyer, and that's being hosted by the Upper Red Lake Area Association, and that's in response to the massive numbers of phone calls and emails that I have personally been receiving, because I'm the president of our 501 nonprofit group up here, asking what we can do. And I said, well, the first thing we should do is have a meeting, an open, transparent meeting, so that we can meet with legislators, meet with people who can give us some real solid answers about this and help us with a path forward to know what we can do to stop what we believe is unfair, divisive, and destructive legislation.
Yeah, and I see that there's a lot of the state representatives are getting involved in this too. It's a big deal, and I wish you luck. Obviously, we would hate to see access denied to the upper red that we've been enjoying for so long, and obviously the people that have invested in that community. That would be pretty detrimental to their lives and what they've done their entire lives and their businesses and everything there. So, Robin, good luck with everything. We'll link below the website and we'll keep an eye on it. And if there's anything else, we can help. I think it's important that this is a civil discussion, like you mentioned. People on social media are idiots most of the time, and you know, can get out of control with language and finger pointing and name calling. It's time to be civil in all of this, but hopefully the right things happen. So, Robin, good luck with everything, and anything else you want to say about it?
I just appreciate you helping us share our message, and I guess we'll just stay tuned and see what the legislators at St. Paul and in Washington decide to do about all of this.
It's an interesting time right now. Robin Dwight, president of the Upper Red Lake Area Association, thanks for the time on the show.
Thanks, Brett.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba LLC. If you've got a question, comment, or story idea for us, send us an email. Go to sportingjournalradio.com. While you're there, you can learn how to advertise on the show and visit our store for hats, hoodies, coffee mugs, and more. Go to sportingjournalradio.com.